Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The gifts are God's gift. They're gifts. They're not the rewards of the Holy Spirit, right? They're the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you get a gift whether you deserve it or not on your birthday, right? You might not deserve it at all. Maybe you deserve to give everybody around you a gift instead of you getting a gift from them. But you get a gift anyway. And so God gives us gifts, and we got to be careful that we don't grow in pride.
Today on Practical Christian Living, we are talking about the gifts of the Spirit in Romans chapter 12 and how those gifts work together to unify and strengthen the body of Christ. But if we become prideful and begin to think we're really something special in using our gifts, God's not glorified. We are. With more on how to let humility guide and ground us in the gifts God gives, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with Romans 12, 4 through 8.
Open up your Bibles with me, if you would please, to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 4 through 8 in our study this evening. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be able to be here today. We pray that your Spirit would move as we look at your word. And I pray for everyone who's here that may not know what spiritual gifts they have or how they can operate. I pray that they would take a step forward, that they would begin to see what those spiritual gifts are. And thank you that you haven't stopped the gifts of the Spirit, but that you have poured them upon us, and that the power of the Spirit comes upon us, and we look for you to empower us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. What if I told you that the strength of a church doesn't come from the stage, that it comes from the seats instead? I was about to say pews, but it's been a long time since we had pews. We had pews at one point, but it's been a long time since we had them. But it comes from the strength that is in the seats. I know a lot of pastors. I have relationships with a lot of them. And I can tell you that many, especially those of small churches, are constantly looking for people who will come alongside of them and help them to be able to do it. Sometimes we feel like a picture that I want to show you. So I got this picture and sent it to the media team, and they're going to put it up here on the middle screen here. So this is what pastors feel like a lot of times. They feel like Romans, a study in Romans. There it is. That's what we feel like a lot of times. Like we are a one-man band. That there's a lot of people that are there, but they're just not helping out. They're just not involved. And I want to encourage you of a couple of things as we start. Number one, that God hasn't stopped filling people with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is still coming upon people to empower them. The Holy Spirit comes in you on the moment that you are born again, but the Holy Spirit comes upon you to empower you to be a witness wherever you go, to remind you of the Word of God, to empower you for the work that God has called you to do within the church, the life of the body. And we want to know what our gift is. And I want to get practical with you today and talk to you about how you can start the process of really knowing how gifted you are and where you can be involved with that gift being used. I inherited my father's toolbox. In fact, I inherited his entire shed. And in that was a toolbox with tools that I don't know how long they dated back to. But one of the things that was in there was a very long, very large screwdriver. And I never used that screwdriver to put in a screw or take a screw out. I don't know what it was made for. There has to be some screws that were that big somewhere on an oil rig or something that you had to have that kind of a screwdriver to be able to do it. But you guys probably know what I did use it for. I used it for a pry bar. And there wasn't a time when I was using it that I wasn't scared to death when I was using it. I'd get it under the lip of whatever it was, and I'd push down on it and think, this thing's going to come unglued and just shatter my face. I remember one time prying something open on a Winnebago I was working on, and I'm pushing it, and it's bending, and I'm thinking, this isn't good. This has stitches. This has a trip to the ER written all over it. We want to use the gifts that God has given us and not spend our lives using a gift God hasn't given us. I should have gone to the store and bought a mini pry bar and a big pry bar. I could have used both of those and it would have been much safer for me and I would have felt much safer. We should figure out what our gifts are. Maybe you've gotten involved in church. Maybe you've stepped out and got involved in a ministry and then just didn't feel like it was for you. And I understand that. When I first started really wanting to be involved in church, I wanted to be a counselor. What I found out later on is that I don't have a gift set to be a counselor. I have a gift set to be a teacher. So when I would counsel, it was like, and even when in the early years when I did a lot of counseling, I used to, when we first started, I used to counsel from 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. on Tuesdays. Talk about a prescription for burnout. Just going over, you know, one struggle after another struggle after another struggle, not only all day long, but into the evening. And I was giving people, I feel sorry for those people because there was no real, I didn't really go into discussions or look into what they were going through or what the root might be. I didn't know any of that. I was 25 years old. I didn't know any of that. I was just like, all right, let me share with you 3 points out of the book of Ephesians that I think will help you in what you're struggling with. Because that's my gift set. My gift set, now we can grow in any area, right? And I have grown in counseling and we can grow in any area, but we want the gifts that God gives us. Well, Paul encouraged Timothy to fan the flame of the gift that he had been given, that we would make use of it and learn more of it as we use it. And it will become evident over time. Have you ever tried to use the wrong tool for the wrong job? Now, researchers at several universities, Sweden, Denmark, Germany, found that people's heartbeat, this is kind of a crazy thing, but people's heartbeats sync when they sing and play instruments together. One particular study that I read was about drummers that they had drumming, and while they were drumming, even though they might have been doing different things drumming, their heartbeat synced up while they were drumming. Now, that's just an amazing thing to me, that music goes beyond just touching our hearts or encouraging us. And when you're playing and grooving, you may understand that if you play, that you're playing with someone. But that heartbeats of individuals actually sync up is amazing. Now, a Barna study found that only 29% of Christians volunteer in their church in a given month. 29%. So that's a small amount. Now, looking out at this crowd, this may be the 29% of Calvary Tucson here and at the West Campus that volunteer, for all I know. But it's good for us to be used by God and to allow the gifts that we have to be used by Him. This means more than 2/3 is sitting on the sidelines. Imagine if 70% of the body was working. Imagine if only 70% of your personal body was working. You wouldn't be able to do very much. You wouldn't be able to do what you've been created to do. And I don't know that the church can do what God has created us to do in the community that we are in if only 29% of it is working. Once we get 100% of us going, or close to 100%, we're going to be doing what God has called us to do in an incredibly effective way. Now, in Romans 12, we find 7 gifts for the body of Christ to do in the world God has called us to do together. These are not individual gifts. It's not you by yourself. It's the gifts that, these 7 gifts are unique. In 1 Corinthians 12, we have a list of the gifts that are there. We have tongues and interpretation of tongues, and there's prophecy and miracles and healings, some of the sign gifts. I do not believe that any of the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. There's 2 positions that you can come from: cessationism, cessation meaning that the gifts have ceased, and continuationism, believing that the gifts have continued. I believe the gifts have continued, but the Spirit is the one who uses the gifts as He wills, and He gives the gifts as He wills. And if the Spirit is moving in a particular church, in a particular time, in a particular age, in the area of tongues and interpretation of tongues, then I believe that that will be taking place in the church. If God isn't moving in those particular ways, if He's moving in other ways, then other things are going to be happening. Now, I've made some very good friendships with apologists over the years. And I had one apologist tell me that God only speaks to you through the Word of God. That he doesn't speak to your heart, that God might bring to memory the word that is in the Bible to you. And as we talked about it, it kind of, I think, revealed his view on the gifts, that he is probably a cessationist. We didn't talk about the gifts at all, but he's probably a cessationist because the gifts have God speaking to you and then you sharing with people. Now, we talked about the importance of humility last week. In verse 4, we spent a whole time talking about those gifts. Because of the gifts of the Spirit and their operation, you can become prideful. The same thing is true with a pastor teacher. Instead of being a one-man band, he could have all the help that he wants, and he could be super prideful instead. And so we want to approach the gifts that we have with humility. Remember that Paul said to the Corinthians, "You come behind in none of the gifts, but you are not spiritual, you are carnal. I wish I could talk to you as to spiritual, but you are not, you are carnal." So the gifts are not given to only those who are spiritual. It's really important to understand, because sometimes we think, well, I've got the gifts and God uses me, therefore I'm spiritual. You might not be spiritual at all. The gifts are God's gift, they're gifts. They're not the rewards of the Holy Spirit, right? They're the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you get a gift whether you deserve it or not on your birthday, right? You might not deserve it at all. Maybe you deserve to give everybody around you a gift instead of you getting a gift from them. But you get a gift anyway. And so God gives us gifts, and we got to be careful that we don't grow in pride. And that's exactly what happens. My 7 years involved in Pentecostal churches, when a friend of mine finally said to me, I was complaining about one woman that would go off in a church service every single week. She would go off in tongues. I would tell him, I can't bring friends to church. I can't bring my family to church because someone's going to go off and they're going to wonder what in the world's going on because this isn't done decently and in order. And he said, Calvary Chapel's in Albuquerque now. Why don't you go to Calvary Chapel? Because they knew that I had listened through the Bible to Pastor Chuck, with Pastor Chuck. And I remember walking into Calvary in Albuquerque and just feeling like it was a breath of fresh air. I'm not against Pentecostal churches. I don't think that they don't have the Spirit of God and that God isn't using them. I think there's some dangers. I think there's some positives. Pentecostal churches have a real sense of expectation that God is going to meet them there that night. They get out of their car and they walk in believing they're going to hear from God. That's a good thing. I remember having that in my life when I was attending the Pentecostal churches, really believing that God was going to move. So much so that when I was sitting in church, I would close my eyes during worship. I would feel a little dizzy and I would think, is that you, God? Is that you? Are you moving in my life now? I wanted everything that God had for me. But also in those years within the Pentecostal church, I saw the human reality of pride. And it's not just them, it's everyone. It's not the Pentecostal church that has a problem of pride. It's humans that have a problem of pride. And everywhere we go, we can become prideful if God begins to use us in a visible way. So we want to use the gifts. We want to use them decently and in order. We want God to be glorified by the gifts that we have. And I think the best way to find out what gift you have is to begin to get involved. Find a place to start doing what you think you would like to do. Start with what you like. There's a good chance that what you enjoy to do is going to be the gifting that you have. So begin doing it. And if you believe that you're a teacher, then teach in the Sunday school. Fan the flame of the gift that you've been given. That's the first place that I taught. I taught junior high Sunday school. At the Chowood Park Four Square Church, at Pentecostal Church. And they had Sunday school material for junior high. And I tried for a few weeks to go through the Sunday school material with them. And it was like looking at a room full of just people that were just bored absolutely to tears. And I finally went to the Sunday school director and said, can I teach the book of Mark? I just want to take the kids through the book of Mark, line by line, verse by verse. It's what I'd seen and heard Chuck do. And I asked the Sunday school director, he allowed me to do that. And and I saw God take his word and apply it to their lives. And I saw their lives start to change. And I'll never forget when I left, how moved they were, and the things that they shared with me when I left that particular class. And I believe that God will do that as we open up and begin to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Start it. I went to hear Elizabeth Elliott after I'd come to Tucson. Elizabeth Elliott was speaking at Casa Sadobe's church when they were still on Ina and La Cholla. And she said in the middle of that, the only thing that I remember her saying, I'm sure she said a lot more that was profound, but what I remember her saying was, if you don't know what God's called you to do and you're not being used by God, then start moving, because it's impossible to steer a parked car. And I realized that analogy is used a lot. I had not heard it before, and it really spoke to me. Get going, get rolling, find out where God wants you, and then you can steer it. If you make a commitment to teach, you know, in Sunday school or to take care of babies, if you make a commitment, it's not for you. Some of you know right away it's not for you. But if it's not for you, then you can always change gears. Go do something else. You are not married to anything that you do. You can always talk to whoever the leader of that ministry is and say, I don't feel like this is for me. I'm thinking maybe this is what I should be doing. And I'm having some struggles. Now, they may be able to help you out with some information, help you learn how to do it better, but start to get involved. So the title of our message today is The Gifts That Build the Church. Stronger Together is the subtitle. You and I are stronger together. We're gonna reach more people together. If I did what I did without you guys, then I would reach very few people. The Bible tells us that two are better than one. One puts 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000 to flight. When two people are together, they can stay warm. If they're isolated, they're cold. And so there's something about being together that God multiplies that use of us together for the sake of the people who are there and for the sake of the body, not just reaching people for Christ, because it's not just about ministering to people who are reached for Jesus, it's about ministering to people who have already been reached for Jesus to their fullest in what God has for you. You wanna grow and you wanna mature and you wanna have relationships with people around you. You wanna be able to pour into them and have them pour into you. We're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to call out each other when we find that there's sinful areas in our lives. We're supposed to do it gently, the Bible says, and we're to consider ourselves when we do it. But how can we do that if we don't interact with one another, if we don't get to know each other? So after Paul talks about humility in verse 3, he gets into verse 4 and he says this, "For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So my feet are for a different reason than my hands. My eyes are for a different reason than my ears." And I could go on and on. So you and I make up one body, the body of Christ. And some are hands, some are feet, some are eyes, some are ears. And these different functions that we have are so that we can shine for Christ in a lost world and strengthen one another. Verse 5 says, "So we being many are one body in Christ." He says in verse 5, "We being many are one body in Christ." There's a oneness that we have, and individual members of one another. So we're each individual members of one another. 1 Peter 4, 8 through 11 says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Since you've received a gift, as each one has received it, you want to be a good steward of the gift that God has given you. It says, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. If you're going to speak, then use that to speak the things of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, So the word minister simply means to serve. So when someone says, I'm a minister, they're saying, I'm a servant. So do it with the ability that God supplies, that in all things you may be glorified through Jesus Christ, that it might be Christ who glorifies you, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 say, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So we're knitted together by what each one of us are doing and working together, to the effective working by which every part does its share. So we're carrying a weight. It's like our church has a weight to carry. And when we're using our gifts, we're lifting that weight up and helping to carry it so it's not crushing to some, especially pastors who are one-man bands. It goes on to say, causes growth of the body and the edification of itself in love. So the body grows as we interact with one another. Jesus said, you will know them by the love that they have for one another. If we take time to get to know each other and fellowship becomes part of what we do, then when people come in here, they'll see us and they'll know that we are with Jesus. They don't have to be Christians to do that. They'll walk in and see the love that we have for one another. So I encourage you, and we're going to be doing things that are going to help encourage fellowship. We're going to open up the coffee shop after services a little longer where you can go out and hang out. And if you don't know anybody, just go get a coffee. Stand around a little bit. See if somebody, you know, you can learn to talk with someone. You can start to interact with someone. Make some friendships here at the church. See people that you sit next to that you might wave when you come in because you recognize them, but don't know their name. Get to know their name. Ask some questions about who they are. Take a true interest in their lives. You say, well, I don't really know how to fellowship. I'm going to tell you the very best way to do it. That is to take an interest in their lives. Start asking them questions, but mean it. Don't just ask questions to go, well, that's what you do when you're trying to get to know somebody. No, mean it. Listen to what they say and listen to what they do. It's a bonding moment. And we have the ability to be able to do that when we get to know one another.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio. 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text Ready for Jesus to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson, or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.